So I put one on eBay and I sold it like within a couple of hours, and they cost £2.50, and I sold it for like £20. I wasn't very good at school. I was kind of disruptive and I didn't get on that well at school, and I don't have any qualifications, any GCSEs. From there, I just thought, oh my God, I love this. I love this digital stuff. I love marketing. I love selling stuff online. Well, I didn't know what I was doing at all. And then I started selling more and more products and became one of the first ever eBay power sellers when I was 17.
Richard Branson talks about the fact that like he didn't really understand how a profit in a business works. He was like, and this was really far into his career.
Try something, mess it up, don't do it again, or do it in a different way next time. And I think that mindset will get people far. I want to invest in your business. I want to invest £250,000 in your business. And I'm like, a lot of people cried when I was training them. I hated it. I felt like I was going to throw up. I was shaking. I was like, it was so horrible. And I felt like that the whole time. That's a really good question. And the answer is, I just don't know.
Whoa, Lucy, I mean, I can't believe, I've known Lucy for so many years, I can't believe how much stuff she's done. Like, there were bits I did not know about. What did you think?
Well, I don't want to give away too much, but I think overall what she preaches and what her mindset is, so she preaches the fact that you should love your job, and the fact that she was talking about work is fun for her, that's why she's constantly working. And I think, like, since a young age, I think she said 17, she's always been working and working. And I think that's how young people should be, always working as well and just getting a job that they love. So yeah, it's really inspiring for me.
You're so right. Her mindset and the way she looks at things is just incredible. Our audience are in for an absolute treat learning about all the different things that Lucy's done to end up where she is today.
Hi, my name's Lucy and I'm taking you behind the future.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Future. I am so excited today to be joined by a co-host who's done quite a few episodes now. We have the fantastic Ruhan. Ruhan, tell us a bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Ruhan and I'm a year 12 student at MGGS.
Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us. And wow, have we got a good guest with us today. I know this lady very well and she has got such a story. We have the wonderful Lucy. Lucy, tell us a bit about yourself.
I'm Lucy and I'm the founder of Social Day and Digital Women, and I am director at Skills of the Future.
Amazing. I think we're going to need to unpick all of those to find out what they are, but it sounds amazing and we're so happy to have you with us.
Thank
so
you.
I'm going to let Ruhan kick us off with our first question.
Yeah, so you taught yourself digital marketing skills at a very young age. What like drove you to learn that way?
Okay, thank you. That's a really good question. So So back in the day, I didn't have a computer until I was like 17 years old. And so we didn't have like loads of money or anything like that because my mum was a single mum at the time. And when I was 17, she decided to get one of these big bulky Dell computers and the AOL dial-up. And as soon as we got it, she put it in the hallway of our house. There was nowhere else to put it because there was like four girls living at home, like with my mum and everything. And I got onto this computer and I was like, wow, this is amazing, because I hadn't had one before. And I went onto eBay and I was like, oh, hang on a minute, I could start selling stuff that my dad sells and my uncle sell on their market stall and make money, because I saw other people doing it. So I put on like a Seen on TV product, like an ad belt. You used to put them on your tummy, and apparently I don't actually think they do anything, but at the time I thought they were amazing. I could sit there with them on one of my stomach all the time.
Gives you abs.
Exactly, it gives you abs. And so I put one on eBay and I sold it like within a couple of hours, and they cost £2.50, and I sold it for like £20. So I told my dad, I was like, Dad, I've done this. And he was like, wow, that's amazing. See if you can sell some more. And he's like, I tell you what, I've just bought you like 1,000 ab belts or something like that. And I was like, okay. And so I got onto eBay and I started getting obsessed with like, how do I like make all of the listings on eBay look really good? So I taught myself HTML and I started making all of the listings move like tickers across them and that kind of thing with HTML. And then I started selling more and more products and became one of the first ever eBay power sellers when I was 17. And I just wanted to figure out, like, how do I get to more people apart from through eBay? And then I got some people in, I think it was India, to build me a website called Greatest Deals Online. And then I started selling the templates that I'd created for eBay listings to other eBay sellers and stuff like that. And that from there, I just thought, oh my God, I love this. I love this digital stuff. I love marketing. I love selling stuff online. And I literally sat on that computer probably for like 3 years doing that before I even like got a job in media.
How did you teach yourself those things? Because I guess today, like, YouTube's full of tutorials and there's free courses. Like, that must have been really hard.
Yeah, especially at a young age. It's a big achievement.
Oh, thank you. Well, I didn't know what I was doing at all. And I was just lucky to be able to kind of like live with my mum at the time and to have this computer. But I just loved it so much. It was just such a buzz. Like, selling one, that first thing I sold gave me such a buzz. And then as I started diving into it and looking at what other people were doing online, I started to become really inspired. And they had these like kind of forums, eBay forums for sellers and stuff, and people were teaching each other how to do stuff. So it's like early communities online. And so I'd learn from other people and kind of like create from there. And there were tutorials on how to create HTML. So I went online. There was a thing called, like, I think it might have been IML Learning or something, online learning. And I started paying for a course, Microsoft Master Web Designer, and that I got this massive book and these like seed, like I think they were like CDs,
yeah,
that you put into the computer. And then I started learning about, like, you know, web design and how to build websites and all of this kind of thing. And yeah, I just loved it. It was just amazing. So you could learn, but it was with these massive manuals and through like chatbots and stuff, yeah, like that online. But it's so much easier now. Like, if I was 17 now, wow, it would be amazing.
Yeah, yeah, because there's just so much free resource. Like, you had to buy that.
Yeah.
You had to then wait for it to be delivered, because that also wouldn't have been as quick as we expect things today. You
think, absolutely.
Now you just go and find it. And where did the entrepreneurial bit come from? So you mentioned your dad and your uncle and the market stalls, and I feel like I've heard you talk about this before.
Yeah, so so my dad has been a market trader since like day dot. So I think he worked in a betting shop and then he started a market stall. And my granddad, he had businesses. So everyone in my family has got their own business. So I think it kind of like runs through my blood to have a business. And so my dad had this market stall. He had a really successful market stall, actually. He had a few vans and different stalls. And it was really massive. Like, I think in the late 80s and the early 90s, until there was like a crash, I think. And he used to sell menswear, like shirts and that kind of thing. And so often when we were little, we were sitting on the market stall and my dad was just selling stuff and they were like selling all of these things. And then my uncle had, so I don't know if you remember this, but do you remember Folkestone Market?
Yes, yeah.
So do you remember the guy in the corner of Folkestone Market who used to talk through the microphone?
I don't know if
and
I do.
Sell the products, yeah. And come on and get this.
Yeah, maybe,
this
maybe.
So that's my uncle, and he was really famous. Like, people still remember him because he used to go around with his massive, it was a lorry, and he used to sell out the back of it. And I just thought, this guy is so inspiring. Yeah. Like, he should have been on QVC or something like that. He was that good. He used to sell it out of the van. We used to obviously help. So we used to go and hand out the products and stuff like that when people were putting their hand up. It was such amazing marketing, honestly. And then when I got into my teens, I would go to the market and help my dad out, and we'd get paid. And my best friend used to come along as well, and we had to get up so early, like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And sell stuff. But my dad used to give us all a belt to put the cash in, and he'd incentivize us, and he'd say, if you get to £1,000, you get paid anyway, like whatever it was, £50, but every time you get another £1,000 or £500 or whatever it is into your bag, I'll give you an extra £5. And like, to a 14-year-old or 15-year-old, that's amazing, right?
Yeah.
And so like, I became quite good at selling because I wanted to sell as much as I could so I could get more money into my pouch, kind of thing. So yeah, I mean, absolutely loved doing the markets with my dad, and like growing up on that market still was so much fun.
I just love, like, probably a lot of young people might think what their parents do, or when they, or even with their part-time job, they're like, oh, it's just a thing I have to do. But the skills you learn, like, and the skills you learn as a salesperson then, like, no course could teach you that. That was just, and it then becomes natural and just ingrained in you. I mean, yeah, wow. What an experience. I absolutely love that. So what happens next? So you're selling on eBay.
Yes.
And you're making that work. And you're even, I love that you also turned it into selling your templates on eBay. So you're like, it's like, if I can sell it, I'm going to sell it. I'll find a way. I love that. What happens next?
Okay, so I'm selling all of my stuff on eBay, and I didn't know what I was doing. My business was getting quite big, you know, like I'm talking thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds a month, like for a 17, 18 year old was a lot of money. But I didn't have a social life or anything. I was just obsessed. I was there, you know, till like 1 a.m. sometimes doing my like listings and just working out how do I sell more. And someone said to me, like, you know, if you want to be a business owner or you want to run a business one day, you need to go and get a job so you can understand like what it is that you need to do properly, so you can understand how it all works and everything. Because I'd never thought of that. I just worked for myself. I was just like selling stuff, didn't know what I was doing. And then one day I remember my dad and my uncle like marched me into the accountant's office and was like, you need to register for VAT. I'm like, what's VAT? And all of this kind of thing. I have no idea what I was doing. And it all just became a little bit too much for me as like a young person to have to figure out all of this stuff. And I was literally getting a trolley from Sainsbury's. I was filling up the whole trolley with parcels and when no one could help me, and walking it down to the post office to post stuff off.
Wow.
So it was so much for like such a young person to do, and it was really stressful. So what I did was I went to go and get a job, and I went to London and I got a job like straight away in selling the courses for CMAP, for a recruitment company.
Okay.
Which it was really cool because I got to go in on the tube, like going to London on my own and that kind of thing. I was like 20. I think I was like 21 at the time. And I started actually putting their courses on eBay and building these templates for them, which is really weird. I just must have loved all of the, you know, technology side of things and the HTML, like techie stuff. And started selling, getting all of the leads through for them so that then they could like place people as mortgage advisors and stuff like that. And I really enjoyed it. But then I was like, I would just really want to work in media. So I went back in Tunbridge and I worked for a small magazine company called IML, which was like... I don't know if you've heard of it. It's like magazines for industries like food processing and all of this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was selling these tiny little, they made us fax stuff through, and I was selling these tiny little adverts like this in there. And you fax stuff through and people would say, yes, I want to do that or I don't want to do that. It was really cool. And then I got a job in London in NewsQuest Specialist Media, and it was on a pensions publication. This is when I was like, oh my God, I love media. I love magazines. I love events. I love it. I love digital. I love social media because social media started becoming a thing. And because I was like into social media already, people were coming to me and they were like, how do I, you know, what's this Twitter? How do I use that? And I was showing everybody how to do stuff. I think, you know, sometimes I knew more than the person who was doing the marketing for the company. Although, you know, sorry about that. I just remember what I was going to say. But I did. I knew more about like social media and that kind of thing. So I was doing it all the time. And then my husband now, who I met there, I was living in a flat with him in London. And one day, and I was doing really well. I was earning loads of money. I was like ad manager for this publication, pensions as well. So it was like, it's a great industry to work in at the time. It was so fun. He opened up the airing cupboard and loads of these stomach toning butterfly massagers fell out the cupboard. And he said to me, why are you doing, you earn enough money. You do not need to be selling these things for a fiver online. I was like, I just love it. I just loved it. So I'm working in this job, and at the same time, I keep setting up websites on these like build your own website things. So I started selling. I had this website called Snuggies. Do you remember when the Snuggies were a thing?
Yeah.
Those were like snuggies.co.uk, and had this toy one. I was buying all this stuff like down in Shoreditch here. What's it called? Commercial Road.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Going down Commercial Road, buying all the stuff, selling it online. And then my dad would drive me down there, and I would started buying clothes to sell and that kind of thing. And then I set up this online shop called Pixie Bow, and I was selling this dresses that Cheryl Cole would wear and stuff
amazing.
Like that. And I was doing so well with it. It was like so amazing. I was blogging about it, selling loads of product. And then I left my job in media after 4 years. I went to Jazz FM for a little while, then I left my job in media and started a market stall at Greenwich Market for a bit. And then I was teaching all of the traders around the market how to use social media. So amazing. Then I was like, maybe my thing is not selling the products, but actually teaching other people how to do it themselves.
What a way to learn that. Wow. And you must have, so when you were at NewsQuest, it feels like you would have worked every hour under the sun if you were doing the job, but also selling. And because I guess you had to do everything. You had to package things up, post them out, etc. Like you must have never had time to breathe.
Well, so because my job at NewsQuest was literally like a 9-to-5 job, I'd go there, I'd sell stuff, I'd go home. And, you know, it was media as well at the time. And it was like the 2000s, 2000 and must have been like 2007, 2000, something like that. So we were just, it was different then. Like you're working all day, then you're just going out and having fun, like drinking and partying, and then getting up in the morning, going back to work and stuff like that. But when I was on my, like my laptop, selling stuff online or creating these websites and that kind of thing, to me, that wasn't work. That was fun. Yeah. I loved it. I enjoyed it. And the buzz of taking those things to the post office. I remember we went on a trip to Cornwall. And I had all these little because I bought all these little pink bags to put all this stuff on. And we was on holiday and I'd bought with me like a whole bag of stuff to send off at the post office and stuff just in case more sales came through.
Love it.
So, yeah, it's just I think to me it's not it, I'm so lucky because what I do now is doesn't feel like a job. Yeah. It feels like fun.
That's the dream though, isn't it? Like to find something that you love. Like you must listen to this, be feeling like, I want to feel like that one day. That because a lot of people don't get to enjoy their job. And that always makes me sad because I'm like,
it makes me sad.
It's your God-given right, in my opinion, to find something that you love. Like, but it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of energy to do that and to say no to things and then to find the things you need to say yes to and to build the skills that you need to do what you want to do. But have you got any questions
it seems
on
like
this
really
so
like,
much?
Like to a job when you're really happy about it as well. Like, what would you say was like a best tip you received for like, because obviously there's people out that don't have like confidence to run a business. What tips would you give them?
What tips would I give people? Yeah. I think just start by doing something, like buying a product or something online and then selling it for more money. Because when you do that first one, it'll give you the confidence and that buzz. And that's what happened to me. I took an up belt for a couple of pounds and I sold it for a lot more than I bought it for. And it doesn't, you don't need to like know all of the wholesalers and that kind of thing to be able to do this. I've done it when I've needed money in the past because, you know, I haven't been doing amazing the whole time. I've had to, you know, duck and dive a little bit. I duck and dive, that's the sort of thing they say on the market store. We like ducking and diving. It's like a So what I'd say is you can even go to like a pound shop. Sometimes in the pound shop, they get things that are worth a lot more money. I've done this before. And you take the product and you put it online on Etsy or on eBay or, you know, what's the other
Vintage,
one now? Vintage, that kind of thing.
Clothes,
and sell it for more money. Or even start with stuff that you don't want around the house anymore and start selling that or ask other people if you can sell stuff for them. I think that's such a good entry point into if you want to start selling products online into entrepreneurship because it just makes you... on a basic level, it's like I'm buying it for this much money and I'm making this much money. And on a basic level, that's what business is, isn't it? Sell something, make money. And I know there's a lot more to it. But if you start simple, I think it'll give you the confidence to build and grow. And likewise, in services as well, if you're good at something, so say you're great at like making websites or something, or you're really good at design, you could say to someone, look, I've seen the, you know, your banners or a local business or your designs, you know, need a little bit of work. Let me do it for you. And I'll charge you X amount of money. And if they say yes, amazing. You've got your first client, you know. It's just about being brave and giving it a go.
Yeah, it seemed like back then business was going really good for you, right?
Back then?
Yeah.
Well, it's, it was, so in the early days, it was going so good for me, but I didn't know what I had because all I wanted, I just wanted to buy and sell stuff and make cool stuff online. I loved it so much. And I did so many dodgy things. Like I was learning on the job and I made so many mistakes because I didn't have anyone to learn from. I didn't have anyone to look up to or to teach me. So I made loads of mistakes. I lost lots of money. I made money. I didn't really need any money because I lived at home with my mum anyway. My whole life has just been try something, mess it up, don't do it again or do it in a different way next time. And I think that mindset will get people far because you're constantly being rejected. You're constantly, you know, constantly things are not working out for you. So then you're just going to keep trying things until it does work out for you. But nowadays, again, there's so much more information online.
Yeah.
I didn't have that.
Yeah, and I guess because also like you had what you'd learned from the market stalls with your dad and your uncle, yeah. but actually they could only teach you about the sales bit because they yeah. didn't know about online. So yeah, you were absolutely, but that experimentation mindset and that, oh, I've been knocked back. Some people would go, I just need to give up. This isn't for me. Yeah. How do you go, no, I'm going to try something else. There must be a way to make this work. Like, is that, did you feel that sometimes? Did you have moments where you wanted to give up or?
I've had so many moments over the years where I just wanted to give up and I just thought, I'm just going to pack this in and get a job. It's really hard. And I think everybody who runs businesses do. You know, like I went from, you know, having this online business to having these online shops to freelancing to having an agency even. And then there was a pandemic and then just now going, you know, running Social Day and Digital Women and that kind of thing. Through this, it's been like that and all over the place and everywhere. And there's been so many, you know, there's just been so many setbacks and times I've thought, gosh, this is so hard.
Yeah.
All I want to do is sit there and make cute stuff, like cool stuff and, you know, do fun things. Business is another thing that is not, and then, you know, also with business, suddenly you have people to support, as you would know, like you have to look yeah. after people. You have to try and keep people on board and like keep paying people. And then it just, there's an extra level of stress that comes with that. But then once you do get there, it's amazing.
Yeah, I love yeah. it. So you start to realize that you can teach the other market stall yeah. people how to do social and how to sell online. What yeah. happens next from there?
So then I'm like, I'm going to help other people to do this, like freelancing, I guess. I didn't know it was called freelancing at the time, to be honest, because I was like, so I'm in my 20s at this point, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to help other people do this. So my dad's cousin had a really amazing online shop, and they were selling this amazing like vintage furniture and that kind of thing. And they said to me, well, can you help us out? We'll pay you like so much. Now it wasn't very much, honestly, like it was nothing at the time, but you know, it's what they could afford. And I just needed money because I wanted to do this freelancing thing, and I was just getting married, I think, and then the next year I had a baby. So I was doing this, I was helping them, and then other people started coming to me. I was in my 20s. It was so funny because not many people were talking about social media, right? And people were so fascinated by it, like they are with AI now. I had local business groups coming to me and saying, can you come and do a talk? And I was so frightened. I had no self-esteem, no self-confidence. I'm just making all this up as I go along. And I start going to these like little events and like talking about social media and stuff. And it was so embarrassing. And when I look back, I'm like, what was I saying? I don't even know what I was saying because I didn't know what I was doing. But then it got me more customers. And I started having all of these like little freelance clients and stuff. And it was just really, when I look back, it's like really amazing how all of these opportunities came. And I don't know how they came, but I think it's just because I was also blogging about, I had this little thing called Digification where I wrote about like things I was learning online. So I was learning about HTML, I learned about SEO, about social media, about like why blogging was so good for, you know, people to seeing your products and stuff like that. And I talked about e-commerce and I just loved writing this little blog and doing this work for other people. And it just opened up loads of opportunities for me.
I love that. So without, because you wouldn't have had this language at the time probably, but you were building a personal brand, showing that you were passionate about yeah. social and online and creating this kind of aura about yourself that everyone was like, this lady knows it all. And I love the fact that you weren't even sure that you knew it all, but you knew more than they did.
I think that's the thing,
you were experimenting and trying. And so that's incredible.
Thank you.
It's really interesting as well, because do you think, so you were teaching other business sailors, right? Do you think like actual formal education is needed to succeed in business today? Like going to school and things like that?
That's a really difficult question because, you know, obviously education is so important, and school education system, especially, you know, like secondary school and primary school, is free. So you should, I wish I'd have known then what I know now. I think take advantage of it. It's like really exciting. You're getting to learn all of these new things and work out what it is that you want to do. So I do think it's important in that respect. But for me, like I wasn't very good at school. I was kind of disruptive and I didn't get on that well at school. And I don't have any qualifications, any GCSEs and that kind of thing. And I've been ashamed of that. I'd been ashamed of that for a long time, which is why I think I worked so hard to talk about all of the things I was learning and knew. So yeah, I do think it's important depending on the route that you want to go down. Mm. But also, like, if you just want to be a business owner and you want to start something, you're good at it and you're willing to like mess up and learn, then no, I don't think you need, from my own personal experience, I don't think you need to worry about it. You can just crack on.
Aspiration Digital is the one-day careers conference to help young people get started in the digital industry. We are just planning our next events and we are planning to move around the UK. So this is your opportunity. If you follow the link in the show notes, you can suggest that we come to your local area and get your school listed on the wait list. Follow the link now and pop your details in. We hope to see you at a future event. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. And have that mindset that you want to try things and test things. It's a good grounding education. And you learn more than what you realise you're learning, because you're learning the skills of working together and things like that at school. But yeah, I don't know how often I would ever use anything that I learned at school today in how I'm running my business. But it gives you that grounding, that knowledge. Yeah.
Exactly. And like my kids, so I've got kids now, I've got two kids. And so when they're like, oh, this subject's really boring, I'm like, yeah, but you're getting to learn about something new and it's free and you get to, you know, find out about all of these exciting things. And I'm just hoping that they don't worry too much about, you know, whether they get all of these amazing grades and that kind of thing. But at the same time, they understand what a privilege it is to be learning all of this stuff. And it doesn't cost anything, especially as girls, because, you know, in the UK, we're really lucky. Girls have a great education. But in, you know, other countries around the world, girls aren't even allowed to learn. So we are very privileged and we have to just make sure that we take full advantage of like what we've got.
Yeah. And I always think, like, even if you're learning something you're not loving, at least you're learning that thing isn't for you, and you try your best and you go through it, because you've got to go through it while you're at school. Obviously, there comes points in your education, you'll have been through this, where you get to choose what you like and what you don't like. But even in those subjects, there'll be bits that you're like, I really like this bit, I really don't like this bit. But that's also the same at work. Once you're running a company, there's bits that you're like, I absolutely love this. And you probably thrive with your events and the bits on the day. But then maybe like I've got to balance the books and do all the numbers bit, and that's not as fun. No, exactly. We're quite similar in that way. But as you grow, you've got other people that can do that as well, where they do find it fun, and that's also brilliant. But I love that. So you're starting to teach people these skills. So you've realised that you can sell that, and you're doing freelancing, and everyone's starting to want to work with Lucy, which is incredible. What happens then?
Okay, so then what I do is I decide, I've got to sell something online again. So what happens is these One Direction start wearing adult onesies. I don't know if you remember that.
I do remember.
Started wearing adult onesies. And so I was like, wow, my dad started getting them, selling them on his market stall. And I was like, wow, this is like a thing. Maybe I can use this. I told myself I was going to do this as a case study for my blog. And like, so I could tell my clients, oh, look, I've done this really cool thing or whatever. And this is like before influencer marketing and that kind of thing. So I put up a website. I can't remember what it was. I think it was like EKM Power Shop or something like that. It certainly wasn't Shopify at the time, because I don't think Shopify was a thing yet. God, if it was, it would have been amazing. so anyway, I didn't actually buy any product. I just went online to like suppliers' websites. I took the pictures of the onesies. I created a website called Onesie Warehouse. I put all of the pictures on there. And then I started using Twitter and sharing these things, like going, oh, I've got these One Direction onesies and all of this kind of thing. And then within like a few weeks, maybe like 2 or 3 weeks, the website started ranking for onesies the top of search for adult onesies. So, you know, this might seem like really exciting, but it was, I woke up in the morning and I had thousands of pounds worth of orders for onesies I did not have, by the way. So I had none of this product. So then I call my dad. I'm like, Dad, oh my goodness, I've sold loads of onesies. I don't have the products. And this is what they look like. He's like, what? Hold on a minute. And I was like, and I don't have any money to buy them either, so I don't know what I'm gonna do. He's like, well, you must have the money because you've sold them. I'm like, yeah, but I can't get the money out yet, because it's, you know, it's all on the like in PayPal and that kind of thing. You couldn't just transfer it straight away. And obviously PayPal thought something was going on, because suddenly all of this money is coming into the account and I'm selling all this stuff. So my dad drives off down to, and I've got like a baby that's 1 year old at this point, who's actually got like norovirus, and so have I, and I'm there with the baby. And then my dad comes back and he goes, I've done my best. I've got all of these onesies. So I had to try and work out, you know, like, does this look like the one in the order? I had to email people. This one's slightly different. Is that okay? Anyway, so in the end, I was sitting on my front room floor, onesies, packets, baby being sick everywhere, like everything. And I'm just like packing and shipping out all of these onesies. And I'm still freelancing. I've got a baby and I'm like, why have I done this? And then like some celebrities, like these celebrities started reaching out to me going, can I have a onesie? And I'll share it on Twitter. And I was like, yeah. So I'm packing up these onesies and sending them to celebrities. They're putting the onesies on. Then people are buying more onesies. And then people start reaching out to me, do you do team onesies? Can you do team onesies like printed with our team on the back, like for our swimming team? I was like, yeah, of course. So then I'm like sourcing onesies and getting them printed from, there was a company, Absolute Print in Maidstone.
Yes,
yep. I'd go down
we
there.
Use them.
Yeah, really, the guy, Chris, I think his name was.
Yeah.
And I used to go down there and I was like, can you print this whole team's onesies for me? He's like, yeah, sure. And then I'd get those and I'd send them all out. And it just was mad. It was so ridiculous. And
I can just imagine this.
It was just so ridiculous. Like, I've learned from this now. Like, don't start things unless you're willing to kind of like completely see them through.
How many onesies do you reckon you sold, like, while this...
Like, you know, thousands with the, you know, with the like team ones and that kind of thing as well. But overnight, because there was like 20,000 people were looking at the website. Like, it'd gone from like five people to like thousands of people. And I was trying to work out at the time, this was years ago, because I wanted to write about, is there a correlation between social media and SEO, like in the Google search? And everyone was like, no, there isn't. But I was like, there must be, because I was just trying to work it out. There is now. Like, everything's shut. Oh my God, if I did online business now selling products, it would be amazing. There's so much opportunity for people. But at the time, it was like I was just trying to work it out and I was trying to write about it. And I was like, well, you know, there's something in selling stuff to celebrities and like giving stuff to celebrities and getting them to share about it. And I was writing about all this stuff that just is a thing now and it wasn't a thing then. Then I just honestly, like, I have a little baby. I actually have postnatal depression at the time for sure. Because I'm doing all of this stuff and I don't know why I'm doing it. I'm just trying to be something or do something as well as being a mum as well. And I just like had more or less burnt out, breakdown, something like that. I can't do it anymore. My dad's like, just let me and your sister take this. Like, let's us do it. We'll do it. And you do your other stuff. And I was like, fine. So they took over the onesie warehouse thing. And I think my sister actually sold it and managed to get like a deposit on her house with it, which
amazing.
Is really amazing. I'm really happy for her. And then obviously I'd sold the other one, like Pixie Bow, and I'd made another site that I'd sold as well, like in between and stuff like that. But yeah, it all just came because this is like a really important thing. Like, if you do too much, it can all come crashing down on you. So
yeah,
just be careful.
Yeah. Well, because you are superwoman to a point, but there comes a point where superwoman can't do everything.
Yeah,
like, and
can't.
If there's too much, and yeah, throw postnatal depression in there as well, and coping with a small child, and yeah, it's really tricky. I mean, incredible though, and amazing that you then had the support around you that then this thing could still carry on. But yeah, so what then?
So then obviously I'm still doing, you know, for a few years, I'm still doing this freelancing bits and pieces and I'm still going to talk at things. People are like, can you come and talk about this social media thing? And I'm like, sure, I'm not qualified to do it at all. And I'm really nervous, but I'm just going to do it.
How did you get over the nerves? Because you did do it. I remember you came to one of our first Aspiration Digitals and I remember you saying, I'm so nervous. And I was like, we've got 16-year-olds in the crowd. You know so much more. But I remember you were really nervous and like how, but you kept pushing yourself because some people would go, no, I don't like the nerves. I'm not doing this.
So when I was younger, all I wanted to do was be an actress. It was my whole thing. And I think, you know, that was the story everyone was telling me as well, because I just loved doing these shows and all of that kind of thing. And so everyone said, oh, you're going to be an actress one day. You're going to be on stage doing theatre and stuff. And I really thought that I wanted to do that. But every time I got onto stage, I hated it. I felt like I was going to throw up. I was shaking. I was like, It was so horrible. And I felt like that the whole time. Like I would say even up to like five years ago, I was going to, when we had the agency bit, because my husband left his job eventually when my second daughter was born, and we started up the agency together, and, you know, like in the spare room. What happened? Yeah, and I was going to these BNI things to try and, you know, like when you're starting out, you're trying to get some customers and that kind of thing. And I remember I had to stand up and do the second 60-second thing. I couldn't hear what anyone else was saying, because all I was thinking about is, right, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? And then as soon as it got to me, I'd be like, hello, my name is Lucy and I do this thing, and it's like, I can help you with your social media marketing and I'm really good at it, blah, 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 blah. It was so fast. Nobody heard what they're saying. Sometimes people laughed at me. And I just went back and did it like every single week at like 6 o'clock in the morning. And yeah, at the end of it, I still was nervous, but I just kept on. I think just if you just keep doing things, eventually you just get used to it, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. And you almost don't realize you come away from one and you're like, well, actually, I just did that and I wasn't nervous. But it's repetition, isn't it?
I think you just have to keep doing it. And still, like, I'm trying to push myself at the moment by doing some of these like online videos and sharing them, because I've hated that. I hate it as well.
Yeah.
It's just nerve-wracking, and then you're worried about people's judgment and stuff. But actually, nobody cares. Literally no one. Yeah. And most people, when you're up on stage talking, just want to get the information and learn from you. They're not thinking, oh, this person's an idiot.
Yeah.
Which is what I always thought, because I didn't think I was qualified because I didn't do well at school.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing that. Yeah. Yeah. No one sits in the audience going, oh, I hope this person doesn't rubbish talk and is awful and falls on their face. Like, nobody.
Nobody. Yeah. And then as soon as you've done the talk, it's forgotten.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I think it's really interesting as well, because you spoke about having postnatal depression, having a kid and running a business at the same time. How did you manage to like stay focused and motivated while balancing that business life, personal life and family life?
That's a really good question. And the answer is, I just don't know. I think I just wanted to be successful. I wanted to make it work so much. And I'd always been told when I was younger, because I didn't do well at school, I actually got expelled from school. I know we haven't talked about this yet. I always thought, everyone used to say to me, like, you've got no hopes, you're never going to amount to anything, you're going to end up stacking shelves, or, you know, whatever it is that people used to say in those days. Nothing wrong with stacking shelves, by the way, if that's what you want to do. But, you know, people used to say that about me all the time, like, you're the black sheep of the family, you're the naughty one, all of that kind of thing. So I thought, you know, right, I have to prove myself. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to keep going and I'm going to be successful. And that was why, basically.
Would you say there has to be like some kind of obsession with the idea of success in order to succeed?
Maybe. I think it was more like an obsession with just being taken seriously or just being credible, basically, not necessarily success. Because I still don't feel necessarily successful and I don't know if I ever will. It was more just, you know, is anybody going to take me seriously? If I do this and, you know, I do something good, perhaps like people will stop saying that I'm a loser or the black sheep of the family or whatever, you know. Yeah. And I'm sure they didn't even actually think that about me anyway, to be honest, because my family have been so supportive. Yeah, I think, you know, everything that happens to you as you're growing up change, like, fixes your mindset on how it is when you grow up, I guess.
Yeah, you absolutely should think you're successful, though. Like, you're so successful in what you've done and so inspiring. Like, this podcast is going to be incredible for everyone listening to it. I feel like they're going to be hanging on your every word of...
Oh, my God.
Because nobody, it's incredible, isn't it? And it's just you've got that in your DNA, that grit to just go, I've got to make this work. Like, yeah, most people probably would have given up at points, but you just kept going. So you're running an agency at this point with your husband. So, yeah. I mean, I know how that works.
Yeah.
But how was that? Because that is, and especially with children in the mix, that's tricky, starting to grow a business.
Yeah. So my one daughter was kind of like 4 and a half and the other one was born. And I remember I had an emergency birth with the first one. The second one, I was like, I'm just going to, you know, have a
planned C-section.
So I'm on the hospital bed and I've got my phone and I'm working.
Of course you
are. I'm about to have a baby and I'm working on my phone. I'm sitting there, da-da-da-da. Yes, I'll get this over to you and that kind of thing. And I had some of the clients I had were so horrible and terrible at the time. And I now wouldn't touch, I wouldn't dream of touching them. But at the time, we just needed, you know, my husband's, you know, came to work, like, you know, in the business. I've got all this little client, these tiny, because I had all these little tiny ones that I was working with. Which I just shouldn't have done it, really. But I didn't know that. I was learning at the time. And I'm sitting there working on you know, on my hospital bed.
Wow.
Which was really hard.
And you do in the early days, you take whatever work you can get because you've got to pay the bills. So you're like, well, I just, and yeah, it's lovely when you get to the point of going, no.
Yeah.
I don't like you, client. I don't like the way you're treating us. This is not a partnership, and that's what I look for.
Yeah.
And this is over. But it takes a lot to be able to get to that point.
I think you almost have to do it because you have to work out, you know, what you will tolerate and what your boundaries are. And if you, once you do all, and I do see it a lot online, we're like, well, don't take clients to do this and don't take clients to do that. But actually, I think just at first, take the client, work out what you can, what you will do and what you will tolerate.
Yeah.
You know, what works for you. But so many of those people, so many of my clients were just horrible to me and like really disrespectful and that kind of thing. So actually when Stuart joined, you know, he's coming from a media company, like he's really, you know, he's kind of like, no, we're not working with those people anymore. And he would go out and, you know, he got some really good clients on board and that kind of thing for the agency. And then I was able to get the confidence to go and get some more. And then we started employing people. I think there was like 5 or 6 of us at one point, which was really nice. And then pandemic came.
Yeah, that was a tricky time that no one had planned for.
No, exactly. And part of what we were trying to do was I was trying to build a social day and Digital Women was really taking off, which is a, you know, like a, it's a community for women in digital. And I'd done this event. I was about to do an awards, pandemic, everything. No events. Everything had to close down. We had to move everything online.
You had an awards that was as people had started to not want to move around.
Yeah.
Like it was literally a week or so before we went into lockdown. So I remember coming to your awards and people were like, they're talking about this thing on the news. Do you think it's going to be a thing?
Yeah.
Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was such a weird time.
So
but
weird.
So you've kind of, you've just mentioned those as though they were little things, but they're huge things that happen. Yeah. So alongside the agency, you've suddenly, you've started this event called Social Day. What's Social Day for those that don't know?
Yeah, so I'd already started Social Day back in 2015.
Okay.
So in 2015, this is before my daughter, my second daughter was born, before Stuart, my husband, like we decided to do the agency. I was going on this thing called Periscope. Have you ever heard of it? Was it Periscope? On Twitter, you could go live and just talk about stuff. So I used to go live and I used to be like, I've got 3 social media tips for you. And all of these hundreds of people started joining in this. And then we used to do this like community thing with other people who were doing like online businesses and stuff. And we were all like going online and sharing our thoughts with each other, joining each other's like Periscopes and stuff. And then we'd do these blabs, which was like these like Zoom calls online, but they were live to like people. And and then I was like, I've got a great idea, I'm gonna do an event on social media because all these cool people need to know about this. And I went to NatWest and I contacted the guy at NatWest, like, can I have your venue please to put an event on for like small businesses about social media? They were like, yeah, sure. I was like, great. So I got this free venue over the road there, supported by NatWest, and I'd managed to get like 200 people to come to this event and pay for it off Periscope, off live streaming. So that's how powerful it is to like build a personal, I didn't know what it was then, build a personal brand and like get people to know about your stuff.
Would you say you managed to grow like a big social media community?
I don't think it was like huge at the time. It was just like, okay, but it was the right people who wanted to learn and to listen to me and then listen to the other people that I was getting along to this event. But like, now, I mean, Digital Women is like 100,000+ followers on the LinkedIn page. So that is growing quite rapidly. And, you know, so yeah, our social media communities are growing now. But at the time, I think it was a lot smaller.
Well, and that also would have been the really early days of an online community. That was still a bit of a, again, I don't even know if we'd have known to call it an online community like we would today. Because it was just, people were just online doing things. But we didn't necessarily have the ways to have the groups that we do now and all the different tools. Slack wouldn't have been a thing for Slack groups and things like that. So yeah, it's so funny, isn't it? And that's in such a short time. That's only, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah, 10 years ago, the first social day. And then what happened is, like, when my husband joined the business, he was like, there's loads of agencies and stuff coming to this event. It's not like small business owners coming. It's like agencies and PR companies and stuff. You can't charge them £25 a ticket, this event. We need to do this like, we need to do this event for, you know, brands, agencies, people working in marketing to learn more about social media and that kind of thing. And I was like, yeah, you're right. Actually, I think this is really good. So we pivoted it all, moved it to another venue away from kind of West. I did a kickstart social media for small businesses and did one in Kent as well. I think you spoke at that.
I think I probably did, yeah.
So because I love small businesses, that's my heart, you know, that's where I started. I always will want to help them. It's I love it. And and then social day started becoming a thing, like for brands, agencies and that kind of thing to come along and learn. And when digital ones a bit later.
Your latest social day was how big?
So I think we had about 350 people there.
Amazing.
Okay, so there's a little bit missing in the middle of the story, but basically I was kind of like I think it's like 2 years ago, 2022, February, I started just the media company without doing any client work or anything like that on my own, called Skills of the Future, which is Social Day and Digital Women. And so I started doing these events on my own, had no money or anything like that to do it with, because it was starting all over again. And then this year I wanted to, so last year I put something on Twitter X, it's called now, I'm going to do an event for like 300 people, a much bigger one for 3 days, a festival of social media. And I always find when I put stuff out there, then I feel like I've got to do it because I've said it now.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
And so I've still got the screenshot of that now. And then I started putting everything out there, and then I started getting all of these sponsors come through, like really massive, amazing companies that I love in this space. And I'm selling sponsorship and going on Zoom calls, really amazing. And then I was also like doing a pitch deck for investment and that kind of thing at the same time. But it was only like 2 months before the event that I actually started getting a team on board to help. So I'd done all of it so stupidly on my own until I'd got the money to be able to start bringing people in. So next year, because I'm gonna have like these people helping me, we're gonna have 1,000 people. Now I've said it, so we have to have 1,000 people.
Yeah, it's happening. You heard it here. We're going. Rouhan's coming. You've got your ticket. Yeah.
Everyone's invited.
Yeah. I'm coming. This is incredible. Amazing. And you're so right. Put something out into the world that you're going to do it. Yeah. And then you've got to make it happen. You're going to find a way.
Yeah.
So Skills of the Future is now your business. You've had investment as well, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm really excited about this because I created a pitch deck. I went to the NatWest Entrepreneur Accelerator, which is again just down the road here near Liverpool Street, and I learned because I've just been running a business, but I'd never learned about running a business or anything. I just did it.
Yeah.
So I've learned all of this stuff from this Entrepreneur Accelerator. It's all free, and there's all these like people talking about funding and workshops and this kind of thing, and I'm like, wow. I could do that. And then a guy on Instagram, who I know runs a business, sent me a message and said, your business would be, you know, it's really cool and really good, and I think you could get investment for this. And then he called me and he like gave me some tips and that kind of thing, introduced me to someone else. And he was like, you need a P&L and all of these things that I hadn't had myself. You need a P&L, you need a cash flow forecast and all this kind of thing. So I set about learning, how do I do this and how do I create all of these things? I did it. I ended up spending money on things I probably shouldn't have, like with the accountant and that kind of thing, when I probably could have worked out myself. But, you know, actually it's better to get someone else to do that kind of thing.
Bring a professional in.
I do not know my way around a spreadsheet. unless it's very pretty and color-coded and that kind of thing, which it's not, is it? There's just numbers like all over this thing, and it's like, and then it's tabs like linking to other tabs and stuff like that. Anyway, boring.
But do you know what, that's the same as, I don't know if you've ever heard Richard Branson talks about the fact that like he didn't really understand how profit in a business works. He was like, and this was really far into his career, he was sitting in a board meeting and he kind of asked a bit of a silly question, and someone took him out and said, do you not understand? And actually then showed him, and he was like, yeah, I don't really, because you don't have to understand certain things if you've got the right people around you.
Exactly.
If it's not your strength, like, it's good to have a good understanding, but actually the amount of businesses and things you've just told us, and actually it's only in the more recent years that then some of those extra skills are coming in, because you can find a way to make these things happen.
I think that's really interesting, because I read that thing about Richard Branson and I was like, wow, he didn't know
yeah
that which is really surprising, isn't
it? Yeah, for how much success he's had the amount of companies and whatnot. But yeah, it just shows that you can make anything happen.
You can make anything happen. Yeah. You just have to be naive enough to just like go, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. Let's give it a go.
Do you know what naivety is? I always say, like, I don't know if I had to start my business again today, I don't know if I would, because you need that naivety of I'll go give it a go. Because when you know more, it's a bit harder.
Yeah, 100%.
So you've put your pitch deck together, you're getting some advice.
Yeah.
And then what?
And then I had one call with one person who was like, oh yeah, we're really interested in this. But then he introduced me to someone else, a guy called Mark. And I do a call with him and he's like, I want to invest in your business. I want to invest £250,000 in your business. And I'm like, what? This is amazing. Well, I know I can make it work. My business plan, you know, is really good. I'm building a media company. This is how I want to do it. And and he invested in me in April this year. I got the money and I've started employing, I just employed my third person who's starting in August.
Amazing.
And we're kind of like, it's so tricky. It's so different now though, because I've gone from doing everything, you know, I'm doing everything. I'm doing all of the bits and pieces. I'm doing the sales. I'm doing the marketing. I'm doing the social media. Like, I'm doing everything. And now I've got a different job completely, because now I'm like, right, you're doing the marketing and you're doing the sales and you're doing the editorial. And well, what do I do now then? And, you know, it's just making sure now that everybody's doing things that they should be doing in order to reach our goals and the vision for the business that we're building. But it's a new job. It's a different kettle of fish. Life is just like learning all the time. It's like so exciting.
Just a quick note from me. We'd love you to hit the subscribe button. This helps us more than you might realize when it comes to growing this podcast, ensuring we can bring you the best guests possible. Thank you. Back to the episode. I love it. I can say one thing that you definitely will never stop doing is selling, because that's in your blood though. So even if you've got other people doing it, you won't be able to keep yourself away from wanting to do that. And you shouldn't as well, because you're incredible at it. You've mentioned Digital Women, but I think that's a really important piece of the pie.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? That's an idea.
Yeah. So actually, this is really important, because I was doing lots of training for people. So I wasn't always doing, the social media for people. I was also doing training. So I'm teaching people stuff. So they'd pay me whatever it was, 50 quid an hour or something like that. And I'd sit there and I'd teach them how to do stuff, how to work out how to use their website, how to create stuff for social media, how to use all of these tools that were coming out, like Canva and that kind of thing. And I would sit down and perhaps it's because I didn't understand how to talk to people properly. I had a lot of people cried when I was training them. It's not even, it's so bad. Like, I would go and sit with a B&B owner, for example, and the woman would cry. They'd been doing this business for years. They tell me I have to be online now, and I just don't know what to do, and it's so scary, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I feel like I'm going to lose my business and get left behind. And I'm like, don't be so ridiculous. You can totally do this. But then it started becoming a bit of a theme, because you'd see people you talk to, they're like, I'm so worried about all of this technology and all of these things. I just don't think, I'm going to be able to, cope or compete in this kind of world. And so I was like, and it was mostly women as well, I found. So I was like, right, I'm going to set up a Facebook group for Digital Women. I'm going to share all the resources I can in there and that kind of thing, to help people to get the skills they need to have a really good business or a really good career. And within a month, 1,000 people had joined this. And then we did an event again with NatWest and, sold it all through that Facebook community. So we had 300 people, I think, at that first one. It was pre-pandemic, 2019. And
I think I was at that one.
Yeah, you spoke at that one, didn't you?
Yeah, it was
amazing. It was massive,
such a good event. It was huge.
It was huge. And that was all there was no advertising, anything like that. It was all from that Facebook community.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it's interesting you say you knew how to talk to people, but actually you must have just made people feel so comfortable that they could open up. I think that's pretty beautiful that people could sit with you and feel comfortable enough to go, I am so overwhelmed by what's happening here. And actually to end up feeling like they're in tears, that's okay. That's amazing. That actually to me says you're an even better communicator than you could ever give yourself credit for, that you could create the safe space for them to do that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, I didn't know at the time. I still, you know, like, it's only in the last couple of years that I really know who I am and what I believe in and what I really do love.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was just doing these things because, you know, I just wanted to help people. And I know I wasn't getting paid very much for it. But I did just want to help people. And I did just, you know, want people to tell me, you know, I've learned something from this and I'm really empowered. And I did so many training sessions with people like, thank you, I'm so empowered. Like it just felt so good. And I just wanted to transfer that to more people.
Yeah.
And with Digital Women, I thought I wanted to also bring other women who knew stuff in to share their skills with each other. So in the end, we was having all of these Facebook lives and everybody was sharing like stuff they knew with each other. And so then it's not just me anymore. I became like a Facebook lead trainer as well. So I was able to share all the Facebook decks and teach everybody Facebook stuff. And then there was other people teaching people about resilience and burnout and like SEO and Google search and all of these, you know, like Google My Business and all of this other stuff. Was amazing. And we had hundreds of people on these live streams. And then because what happened was there was obviously the pandemic, we got locked down. I started a membership for Digital Women because we couldn't run events. I couldn't make any money from it. And because we had like a business, it was like, you can't run this for free.
Yeah.
We need to make money. And you know, like it is a fun thing to, you know, it's amazing. It's a great thing to do to help people, but you have to make money because if you don't make money, you're going to become very resentful of it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And you won't be able to do it.
Well, you won't be able to keep it going.
Exactly. Like, yeah. You can't keep it going because you won't have the time to do it. Kids, family, you know, this agency and all of that kind of thing. So I started a membership. Hundreds of people joined and paid for this membership. I was like, wow, this is amazing. I just banged a website together and was like, come on, everyone, let's join. And we'll just like do training with each other and that kind of thing. And it's just worked out really nice.
And yeah. How many people in the community today?
So in our wider community on social media, probably including our email and that kind of thing, we've probably got about 200,000. Wow. And we have members that kind of come and go. So we have paid members. We probably have at any one time about 500 paid members.
Amazing.
But we haven't, and we're just starting now to go, right, we've got something really cool here. We should start marketing this properly because we haven't even marketed it. It's just all happened like really organically. And we're doing awards and that kind of thing as well. But yeah, we're just about to launch something really cool called Advanced Plus, which is like a 6-week cohort training for women. And then after the 6 weeks, they become part of the community, the wider community, and they take part in all of these lunch and learn sessions that we do where people are learning from each other and stuff like that. So it's like kind of evolved from this like really scrappy thing, let's just help people, to right, we're doing something like it's all CPD accredited. It's like built on this like really professional platform now. It's launching very soon. And it's been a long time, but the evolution to becoming something that, you know, is going to be really important and really helpful to people. I think it's been worthwhile. It's been really fun.
What would you say was the most rewarding moment when you started Digital Women?
The most rewarding moment? Do you know, I think it was when that first event, like at NatWest, when I just looked in that room. It was the whole thing. It was like 300 people. It was massive. Do you remember? There was like 3 screens. And it was like, wow. All of these people have came to this event like to learn about digital.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And it's like, I invited them and they came.
They came, like, wow. And they paid.
Yeah.
They paid to cut. They didn't pay very much, but they paid. And people sponsored it as well. Like, wow. Amazing.
I love it. It's such a, but I think the whole part of your journey is you just kept trying new things, doing new, like, yeah. to the answer that you gave Ruhan earlier is that you just get started, just start selling something.
Mm. Like, just try it.
Just try. And so you just started a Facebook page, which now, wow, yes, you didn't know where it was going to go, but oh my word, now it's amazing. And where it's going to go next sounds absolutely phenomenal. And that community, I mean, because it's worldwide, the community, isn't it? I'm sure I've seen people from like everywhere.
Yeah. So we have this, this thing the other day, because someone said to me, I want to know where everybody is so that we can all meet each other and hang out. Because this is a real community, by the way. The members that are kind of like a pay in, their monthly fee and that kind of thing, they're in a WhatsApp group together and they chat to each other. So it's a real community. It's like proper. They talk to each other, they meet each other. Like, I don't even have to be involved anymore. They're they're just like doing stuff together, collaborating and stuff. It's really amazing. We'd love to have a map where we can see, you know, where our community are. So I'm like, right, now I have to do this, don't I? Because like my brain's been briefed. Probably not the right thing for me to be doing at the time because I've got all this other stuff on my plate. So, so then I figured out that you can get this, you can get like a Google community map.
Yeah.
So I created a Google form and I was like, fill this in with this information, like where do you live, all this kind of stuff. You know, what are you interested in meeting up with other people? Pulled the data into the Google community map. And we've got people in Africa, America, the Netherlands, Spain, all over the UK, Ireland. It's amazing. So we are completely a global community of women.
Wow. I love that.
And it's so cool to be able to like visually see it as well.
And to see that it's just self-managing, that people are just helping each other. And I'd love to, and I bet there's no way of doing this, but I wonder how much business has happened because of that community, like women have given each other work or they've referred each other to things or like, I mean, the impact of what you've created and the, I don't know, that gets me excited to, you wouldn't be able to find it out, but so many people will be doing things that they couldn't have done without that community. So
what people say, so some of the cool things that people have said about it is like, it's a digital security blanket. So it's like, you don't know something and then you just say, does anybody know? You go into the community like, does anybody know this or how to do this? Or do you know someone who knows this? And there's always someone there to help. And I just love that, a digital security blanket. It's like there when, so we're there when you need us. You don't have to be active. You don't have to be coming to all the webinars or hosting lunch and learns all the time. You know, if you want to, you can. But if you need us, we're just there for you.
I love that. And it also just shows how giving the world of business is. Like people, whoever you are, wherever you are in these communities, do just give time. They'll help each other. Oh, I'll jump on a call with you and show you how to do that. Or I could just do that for you. Or let me refer. Like, it's just, it's lovely. And I think, and I love the thought that young people listening to this get to understand that, because I think sometimes the world of business sounds quite scary. But actually, it's so different to what it used to be. Because, and not because humans didn't want it before, but we didn't have the way to help each other like we do now. And we just are able to support each other so easily. And people are really giving and lovely and want to, and they do.
100%. And I think you're right. Like, there's this misconception about business that it's like, big and scary and it's like suits and it's corporate and all of this kind of thing. But actually, there's all of these communities out there of people who just want to help each other, like to hold your hand and see you do well. And I just think people are, most people, we hear all the bad stuff, but people are just good, actually. People do just want to help each other. They do want to feel part of something. And I think that's what a community is as well. It's feeling part of something, having people around you that understand you, who have the same problems as you, and who are willing to stand with you hand in hand and solve the problems with you together.
I love it. I love it. There's nothing more comforting as well when you realise that everyone has got the same problems or that they've had the same problem and maybe they're through it and you're like, oh, okay, so I'm not on my own. Because I remember when I started my business, communities weren't what they are today. And I remember feeling quite alone at points. And then when we did find some of the communities that we're part of, you suddenly go, this is brilliant. Everyone has got the same problems and they're just slightly different shapes or they happen at slightly different times. But also you then find the people that have solved the problems and you're like, oh my word, I wish I'd known that. I'm so glad I know it now. And you can just help each other. It's just brilliant.
Absolutely. I know you do a lot of that as well, don't you? I've seen you do a lot of speaking and sharing online and sharing your journey. And I think I think you're really inspiring. The stuff that you post is like, wow, I just, you know, I'm taking this on board. I'm learning from Becky every day.
We're learning from each other because, I feel like we need a hug in a minute. We're going to have to do that because she's just amazing. I feel like we're getting close to needing to wrap up. So, Ruhan, what haven't we answered that you want to know?
One last question. I think what's also interesting as well is the rise of AI. Has that changed the way you work today?
100%. Like everything I touch now has got some kind of AI involved in it. And I'm not like completely reliant on AI, but it just makes everything so much easier. I just posted something earlier. Like if I'd have had tools like Lovable when I was 17 years old, oh my gosh, it would be so amazing. So there's all of these kind of like tools where you can just, if you've got an idea, I want to build like this directory thing, I want to build this. You just type in what you want to build and then it builds it for you.
It's amazing, isn't
it's
it?
It's amazing, isn't
it? Is that
it?
What Lovable does?
Yeah, Lovable yeah. does it. Yeah, exactly.
I haven't tried Lovable. Oh, that's the thing.
You're
going to
be up all night. You're not going to... You'll be like, wow.
There's so many tools popping up. That's the thing at the moment, isn't there? Yeah. Like every day you yeah. could find something new to go and play with yeah. to go, oh, how does this work?
Yeah, because you don't need to be technical. You don't need the technical skills like the HTML, all this kind of thing anymore in order to build, because AI can do it for you, which is really interesting. So I do think like some jobs are going to change. Some jobs will go, but there will be so many new jobs created from AI. But just like AI is impacting everything for sure. Like if I need to... You know, if I need some help just with my ideas, like trying to figure out, you know, is this good? Should I be doing this? The AI, like if you use ChatGPT, for example, I think that what, obviously it's your biggest fan. Your ChatGPT is your biggest fan. Like mine is just a massive cheerleader.
You've got this. Go, yeah. Lucy.
She's like such a good cheerleader. And I think that's helpful in itself. Like especially when you're, you know, because it can be quite lonely running a business when you're the person in charge of stuff. All of a sudden you're like, oh, who could I like talk to about this? And then you're just like, what do you think? And they're like, what do you think? And it's like a little therapist kind of thing.
Yeah.
But not only that, it's like you're talking about Otter AI for the, you know, the podcast. Like when we do webinars now, we can use Otter AI to record the webinar, and then we can take the content from that and we can turn it into like quote posts and that kind of thing. Feed is really cool. You can make like AI avatars of yourself so that you can do the training with a version of yourself, which is really good. And you can also take long videos. So this podcast, you take this, you like bang the link in from YouTube into the into Feed, and it will make like perfect like little viral videos for you with all the captions on them.
Oh my word.
So it tells you like the there's another one that tells you, Clap I think it is, that tells you the virality of it, like at what it is out of 10, how good this caption will be. And wow. It cuts it into the right size and it follows you. Oh, it's amazing. What else? There's just so many. Yeah, it literally touches every single aspect of everything we do at the moment. Like, yeah.
I love it.
Love it.
I've used it before. There was like a 2-hour webinar and I was like, I haven't really got time to watch this, but I really am interested. Yeah. So I put it into ChatGPT and I said, could you give me the highlights? Like, what do I need to know from this webinar? And then I was like, actually, you could use that to write the blog post. Yeah. To like, if you wanted to write a blog about something that you were part of, you can go, right, what are the key points?
Yeah.
Help me write it. And then you can go and write it yourself with that. But it just gives you the... It's just shortcuts, isn't it?
Oh, it helps because you have, like, for example, with me, I think it's made me a better writer because I have all of these ideas and I don't necessarily have time to, like, just sit there and just write it all from scratch. So I put my ideas in and then I'm like, you know, I want to write this, but, you know, does this sound right? And it's like... You know, often lies to me. And
yeah, you have like to watch out.
Yeah, but it's just really good because it just shortens the time that it takes to do things, so you can actually have the ideas and be more creative. And you know, there's always going to be things to watch out for with AI, like, you know, does this sound like me? Is the thing that I'm posting or creating, is it like, you know, does it sound like everyone else now and that kind of thing? So I think you have to be careful that if you're creating your own kind of like AI thing, that you make sure it understands you, what you would say, your language and that kind of thing. But you can totally do it and no one would know that you're using AI to edit stuff and that kind of thing. Just be quicker and you can do more.
It's the future, isn't it?
Cool.
It's the future. Yeah. I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like AI is not going to replace you. People who are using AI are going to replace you. And that's the thing. So you've got to get on it. You've got to learn the tools. You should be really curious. And it's not just with young people. Like I'm always saying with like older people as well. So they're like, oh no, it's really scary AI and that kind of thing. Literally, you are learning this at the same time as all of these young people as well.
Yeah, yeah, it's new to all of us.
It's new to everybody. So just, it's a mindset thing. It's just go, like, do it, try it, give it a go.
I love it. That was a really good question.
Loved the question. Really good one.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Are you sure you don't want a career in interviewing, like journalism?
Maybe one day, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
I love
you're
it.
Good at that.
Is there anything that you've not told us that you're like, oh, I feel like the next generation need to know this?
Is there anything? I think just going back to like when you're young, you don't necessarily know what it is that you want to do, and it's worrying. You think, oh, I need to be something or do something, and I need to, you know, show that I can be this amazing person or do all of these amazing things, because perhaps people in your family are doing something cool or whatever. But you have so much time when you're young. You're so young. Like, I'm 40 now. Actually, I'm going to be 42 soon. And I feel so young. I feel younger than I did when I was like 20. But now I also like know so much more.
Yeah.
I've got so much more confidence. I know who I am. I didn't know who I was for 40 years or like 35 years or something like that. So you just have, just young people have so much time. It's just try stuff, especially if you're living at home with your parents and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't have to rush. You can just try things. This is the best time actually to try stuff. Just like, go on all the online courses, go to the different free events that you can go to, meet people, talk to people, do things out of your comfort zone. Gosh, yeah. I'd love to be like, know everything I know now and then be like 17 again.
Yeah.
Because it would be amazing. That's like a show or something, isn't it? 17 again,
I think.
But wouldn't you just love to go back? And obviously you wouldn't want to change anything because everything you do makes you who you are.
Yep. And everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, of course.
But I suppose the whole point of this podcast, everyone's just got a window into all those things you've learned. Obviously, not to the level of detail of living it like you have. But that's the idea. We're trying to shortcut again and help young people to learn what's possible and what to look for and what to do. So just get out there and give it a go.
Yeah. And also, if there's people that you like think are really cool and you respect online, like, so there's someone who's doing something you want to do, just send them a message and be like, I think you're really amazing and I want to learn from you. Can, you know, can we go for a coffee or can I ask you some questions? And I think most people are great, aren't they? People are good. And most people are not going to ignore you. And even if they do, that's great because it's rejection. And rejection gives you, you learn from it. And you're just like, well, that wasn't that bad. I'll try someone else. And that kind of thing. That person's obviously just a, you know, not that nice, or they're just busy. Actually, they're probably just busy, to be honest.
And it's tricky, isn't it? Because some people, depending on their level of fame and where they've got to, will be getting so many messages. So sometimes they can't, although actually if they get their AI set up correctly, they probably could have an automated response saying, I get a lot of these, thank you so much, look at my content, or some kind of helpful tip to go, look, I might not be able to give you one-to-one time, but here's these things. But not everyone's doing that yet. So,
of course. But, and they also, all of these people have got like books and stuff as well, where you can learn about all of the stuff they've done and
hunt down the podcasts they've been on, the live talks they've done, that the videos are on. I mean, honestly, with just the world we live in today, the amount of content that you can just get for free at fingertips, as long as you've got an internet connection and some kind of device, is just incredible.
Yeah, amazing. You've got so much, you've got such a great life ahead. So much cool stuff happening now.
I just love it. Yeah. I love it. You have been incredible, Lucy. Like, I want to go and start selling stuff online. I don't know about you, Ruhan, but
too.
I'm going to go and start, I don't know what, I'm going to have to go and find something I can buy and start selling, because it is the buzz, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've got planners. You can sell some of my planners if you want.
Like, done.
Some of your customers. I love it. Or you can buy some for your clients if you want.
Yeah.
No, I'm not selling anything to you. I'm just joking.
She's even selling on the podcast. I love it. Where can people find you online and what can they buy from you online?
Okay, so you can find me. I have a website called lucyshall.co.uk, which is just like tells you stuff that I do and that kind of thing. Socialday.co.uk or on socialday.live are you know, if you're into social media marketing and that kind of thing. And Digital Women is digitalwomen.club, where we're doing the Advanced Plus stuff. Obviously all over social media, Lucy Hall, Social Day, Digital Women, and I've got a website called mysocialmediaplanner.co.uk to itch the product selling scratch.
Love it. So they can buy their planners online.
You buy your planners online and go through the creating your social media plan and that kind of thing.
Amazing. You've been fantastic. Thank you so much, Lucy. Ruhan, you've been amazing.
Thank you.
And thank you so much. I hope you've enjoyed it. And please reach out to Lucy and follow all the different things happening and what's going to happen next, because who knows? So thank you so much. We'll see you on a future episode.
That concludes another brilliant episode of Behind the Future. Thank you so much for listening. You can listen back to other episodes on YouTube or your podcast platform of choice. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, as that will help us to grow this podcast, ensuring we can get the best guests on here for you to learn from. You can also follow us on socials, linked in the show notes for exclusive content. See you on the next episode.